This podcast was made available to you by Wishik Enterprises, helping artists create a presence on the web at www.wishek.com.
Talk to me.
Welcome to Shutterbug Magazine Radio with your host, Jack Warren.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. I'm Jack, the voice of photographers. This segment of the show is brought to you by CameraPrices.com. Your resource for anything camera-related, go to CameraPrices.com. For 20 years, Daniel J. Cox has been pursuing his lifelong dream of photographing nature at its finest. His photography has been featured in galleries such as the Nikon House in New York and the Natural History Museum in London. He's also a regular contributor to the natural history publications worldwide, such as National Geographic, Audubon, National Wildlife, the Sierra Wildlife Conservation, and the Tierra Sauvage, and he's the sole photographer to 7 books about natural photography, nature, wildlife. Welcome to the show. I should say welcome back to the show, Daniel.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, it's been a long time since we spoke, and I'm sure glad to have you back.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. It's good to be back.
Yeah, I was asking someone in the studio earlier what we remembered about when you were on before, and one of the things was your beautiful snowy owl photos. So I had my webmaster contact your folks, and we have some of them up on the website at Photomall, FOTOMALL.com. Before we get to those photos, though, what was it like to have a cover on National Geographic?
Well, it's exciting to say the least, to be honest with you. I guess every photographer's dream is to, at least in the field that I work in, is to work with National Geographic. They're the most prestigious and difficult organization to really get your work published in, because the competition is so extremely competitive. So, to say the least, it's definitely one of the highlights of my career. And since that story appeared, we've since done a second cover story for National Geographic that appeared actually a year ago this last February, the February 2005 issue on Great Gray Owls, another owl story. I may get pigeonholed as an owl photographer, but better to be pigeonholed than have no pigeonholes at all.
That's right. Well, it's impressive to me and to those listening. I mean, it's difficult enough just to get one shot in the pages of National Geographic, but you made the cover, and not only once but twice. And I have another friend of the show, Mr. Jim Motke, who is from BetterPhoto.com, who probably wants to comment on that and maybe ask you a couple questions. Welcome back, Jim.
Hi, Jack. Hi, Daniel. How you doing?
Good, Jim. How are you doing?
Or do you go by Dan?
Dan is fine. Daniel J. Cox is the credit line, but that's just for business. When we're talking between friends, it's Dan.
Well, they're gorgeous cover images. I mean, just fantastic. So I can see why they picked them.
Well, thank you.
I was just wondering, there's an article in Outdoor by Art Wolf about being a naturalist more than a photographer.
Right.
Do you have any kind of take on that yourself?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. I saw that issue myself. You mentioned I think it's the latest issue. I know the magazine that it's in is Outdoor Photographer, which is a great publication specializing in bringing this information to people who are really interested in the outdoors and photography in general, the photography of outdoor subjects, if you will. I just recently returned from literally just walked in the door this morning. I'm working with a group regularly. In fact, again, it's an owl related. An organization called the Owl Research Institute here in outside of Charlotte, Montana, and we recently have been doing. I've been documenting some of the work that they've been doing on a very relatively unique species of owls, to at least for breeding into the United States, and it's called a northern hawk owl. And they're doing some really interesting new research with these birds, and just returned from about a 5-day backpacking trip going into some very remote locations to help them do the legwork to just find nesting sites and all that sort of thing. And I can't say enough how important it is to not only have, I mean, I don't think any of us go into this business with the thought of wanting to be here only because we want some sort of notoriety as being a photographer. I really believe that in the natural history business, you have to have a love for what it is you're taking pictures of and an interest in this subject matter, or you wouldn't put up with the 15 to 20 years it takes to just get rolling in the business and you know, hand-to-mouth situation where it's so difficult to earn a living and doing this type of photography that you really do have to have an interest in the subjects that you're trying to document. Otherwise, you would not put up with the difficulties that are along the road to gaining some. Yeah,
it all starts with
the. Also, in your biography on your website, the driving rain, splitting snow, howling wind.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting that that's true. You know, one of the things that my first real interest came from just being an outdoors person. I grew up with in a family of what I call my father being the ultimate hunter gatherer. We used to hunt and fish a lot, and I had lots of cousins and family members that we spent a lot of time in the outdoors, and that's literally what put me here. I can't say that enough. It's without an interest, having been given and shown the beauty of the outdoors at a very early age, I certainly wouldn't be taking pictures of wildlife right now. And there are so many young people today that don't get that opportunity. They don't have a father or any close personal family member that actually takes them by the hand and takes them out and says, "Hey, let's go fishing. Let's go hiking. Let's go take a look at the mountains. Let's do a boardwalk excursion in the Florida Everglades. Whatever. I mean, there's a tremendous need out there to get people involved with the outdoors, because so many of these young people today are virtually, you know, on the computer or in front of a TV. It's not only a problem for them physically, but it also we need to encourage people that if we want to continue to see beautiful areas, wilderness reserves and national parks and places that we can go see some of these animals
Well, if they want to see some something that will really inspire them, I think your photographs that you brought to us today really are an inspiration to get out there. And if you'll go to Photomall, FOTOMALL.com right now, and click on the gallery there, you'll see Daniel J. Cox has some outstanding photographs of owls, and it looks like some baby chicks getting fed there. Let me just bring it back to photography for a minute. How do you get close-in shots like that, Daniel?
Well, you know, it's a matter of a lot of patience, to be honest with you, and patience as well as telephoto lenses. An important element of quality natural history photography is doing the best you can to make yourself as least obtrusive as you can. And the only way we can really do that is with telephoto lenses for the most part. We try to stay back and not be an element in the animal's life that is disruptive. But what we're trying to do is be a fly on the wall and hang out with these creatures, documenting their lives in a way that is unthreatening to them and doesn't bother them in any way. And then you get a chance to see what they're really, their life is really all about, and document these things.
Telephoto
lenses is a major necessity, and it's interesting in the last few years with digital photography. I'm so excited about what we are able to do today with a digital camera as opposed to what we did in the past. In particular, the Nikon system that I use, having the 1.5 magnification cropping factor, which for wildlife photography is a tremendous asset. And it literally increases the power of our lenses, and I'm finding that I'm able to actually stay back even further than what I have in years past because of the change from going from film cameras to digital cameras.
Well, and your photography is so, it's right in there, and it amazes me that you're able to get the angles that you get and the positioning. I've worked with telephoto lenses. I know Jim uses them all the time, and next week we're going to have Art Wolf on the show. You guys were talking about him earlier, and I'm excited to talk to him, as I am you today. But to me, there's got to be some way that you're able to you get a different perspective than the average guy. Did you have mentors growing up that you followed, or who taught you to do this?
Well, you know, I've actually learned all my photography from the so-called School of Hard Knocks. I started in high school and went through the whole process of you know, shooting for sport. I played a lot of sports and then afterwards would photograph buddies of mine, you know, in the games and that sort of thing. Went through that whole process in high school like lots of kids do. Got through high school, started working for a small newspaper when I was going through college, and also at the same time working for a commercial studio, Grand Mason Studios in Duluth, Minnesota, and had just a tremendous amount of influence from people around me on how to become a quality photographer, not to mention the fact that probably a good 60% of my own time just studying, reading, looking at magazines, in particular National Geographic, and just looking at the pictures and trying to figure out how photographers took these pictures. And it's very difficult to find anybody in the natural history field as a mentorship, because it's a very competitive field. There's not a lot of people that are doing it, and so it's really almost a situation where you have to learn on your own. But, you know, I think what you're seeing when you talk about Art's work or my work, and Art's a great guy, does, you know, produces beautiful photography. And I think what we're all doing is there's a tremendous amount of patience involved.
Okay, hold that thought, and when we come back, we're going to have more with Daniel J. Cox, National Geographic photographer. He's going to give us some of his trade secrets right here on the Shutterbug Magazine radio show, syndicated by Brain Food Media, Global Food for Thought.
Are you still flipping between applications to touch up, categorize, organize, share, and back up your digital images? If so, then it's time to get serious. Created by professionals for professionals, StudioLine Photo does it all, and it's easy enough that you won't need a degree to use it. Simply load your images, add captions, descriptions, and keywords, correct exposure, color tones, and other imperfections. Then print your albums, burn DVDs, publish to the internet, or send photos as email. With StudioLine's batch functions, it doesn't matter if you're working on one photo or hundreds. You'll work faster and better with StudioLine. Don't spend hundreds of dollars to end up with less. If you have a digital camera and a Windows computer, get StudioLine Photo at electronics, office, and photo stores for only $49. Or download a free trial at www.studioline.us.
If you're a professional photographer looking for a complete solution for selling your photos on the internet, you need to check out morephotos.com. With morephotos.com, you have a complete arsenal of tools to add your own photos to the front page. Create a huge portfolio or gallery section to show what you can do, and even advertise your products, services, and prices. From viewing to sales, you will increase your productivity and your customer satisfaction. You'll be able to protect your photos from theft with watermarks, create different price lists for different events, build a database of your customers for mass mailings, Christmas card lists, or satisfaction follow-up. Do you want to personalize your products for your customers and skyrocket your sales? No problem. Morephotos.com can do it. You'll have everything you need to create a professional-looking website and collect the money without having to become a web designer or a programmer. Find out more by logging on to morephotos.com.
If you struggle with quality when it comes to your product shots or would like to bring them in-house to save money, consider Photosimile. This PC-controlled photography studio is like having a professional photographer on staff. In fact, in seconds, anyone can use Photosimile to obtain professional photography results. The controlled lighting environment inside of the light box yields shadow-free images that are perfect for websites, online auctions, product catalogs, and more. Simply place items in the light box, preview them on your monitor, and click Snap in the Photosimile software to take a picture. Images are automatically sent from camera to PC via USB for immediate viewing, editing, and saving. Photosimile also features watermarking, annotation, and batch saving capabilities. To learn more about Photosimile and how you can take product pictures like a pro, go to photosimile.com. That's photo, S-I-M-I-L-E.com.
Your photos should be on a postcard. Go to getcashforphotos.com and get a free 7-part course on how to select photos that sell. You can make money from photos you've already taken if you know how to select them. And that's exactly what you'll learn in How to Select Photos That Sell. You'll get surefire tips that have kept professional photographers in business year after year. Tips like what to look for in photos that double their selling price, how to beat the competition, and when you should take multiple shots of your subject. Not only will you be able to select profitable photos, you'll automatically start taking photos that sell, no matter where you are, even if you're on vacation. Imagine how you'll feel and how impressed your friends will be when they see your photo on the cover of a national magazine or on a postcard. To get your free 7-part course, go to getcashforphotos.com. That's getcashforphotos.com.
On behalf of our WS Radio hosts, we encourage you to log on to our WS Radio Mall. It's a virtual mall stocked full of special offers and savings you won't find anywhere else. We have something for everyone. Tools to start or grow your business, services that will improve your mind, body, and soul, and unique products created just for the WS Radio Mall. Simply log on to WSRadioMall.com and stroll down the many stores we now have open. All products and services you see are from our WS Radio hosts, partners, and advertisers, so you know that what you see is what you'll get. The WS Radio Mall is also a featured eBay store. WS Radio has been an eBay seller since 1999, and we're proud of our 7-year track record. Take a moment and visit WSRadioMall.com for a unique shopping experience, and check back frequently as the mall is opening new stores all the time. That's www.WSRadioMall.com.
Talk to me.
Information, news, and entertainment on demand.
Talk to me.
Welcome back to Shutterbug Magazine Radio with your host, Jack Warren.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jack, the voice of photographers. This segment of the show is brought to you by Photosimile.com, the home of your PC-controlled studio in a box. Go to Photosimile.com. And we have on the line here Daniel J. Cox, who's a National Geographic photographer, and Jim Motke, founder of BetterPhoto.com. And we're talking about his fabulous photography of the owls that are in the pages of National Geographic. And I was just going to ask you, Daniel, is there a trade secret of how to get published in a magazine?
Well, you know, if I had to give one specific, suggestion in getting your work published in the magazines is just continual determination. I remember in the early days when I still do this to a certain extent, not as much as I used to, but I would literally go to the newsstands and the grocery store magazine racks, and I constantly pored over the pictures that were being published, and I would had a little pen and paper that I kept in my pocket, and I'd see a new magazine, I'd write down the name of the photo editor or the address of the magazine, and I would consistently send a little promotional package of an introduction letter explaining who I was and what I did, and everything was done very professionally, and I can't stress that enough, having a nice letterhead. And even in today's world of email, I think that's an important element because the initial contact is more impressive, I think, when you first contact somebody with letterhead and a nice business envelope, that sort of thing.
And there's nothing like getting something in print.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, email is a terrific tool, but it's really, I think, in the long run, the best introduction method, in my opinion, when you're just introducing yourself, is regular U.S. mail, something that's nicely designed and professional looking, and as I say, I stress that highly. It's always been important to me to present myself in a way that makes them think, hey, this guy is important. He feels the fact that he's keeping track of his material, he's writing a professional letter,
sure.
All these things, then they help them take you more seriously as a
and
professional.
Just something simple, as simple as a business card. So many photographers I talk to don't have a business card. And they call themselves business people, and it's not going to help them if people can't get a hold of them. Jim?
Yeah, most definitely. I take cards with me everywhere, and every time I'm out shooting, I give them out to co-photographers as well. And yeah, it's important. You got to definitely you know, definitely pound the pavement. And, you know, I like Daniel's suggestion about actually doing something in print. I mean,
yep.
What is that?
And should we ask him about his equipment?
Yeah, I did want to ask him about that, but if I can take a different tack.
Okay,
I wanted to ask, you know, when I go to Photo Mall and I look at your images, Daniel, there's a few of great grays in flight.
Right.
And I know that, you know, you just wait for the right moment and take one shot and get it every time, right?
Okay.
How do you do that?
Well, it isn't quite that simple, but there's in particular when you're working with action and moving subjects, there's a lot more images that you don't see that are either thrown away or not included. And frankly, in the situation with the great gray owls, it was a long-term project. I was photographing them in the wintertime, going to a couple of different places where there were owls that had been known to stay in a particular area and use these fields and meadows. And I would literally just plant myself in the middle. They're very easygoing birds. They're diurnal, which means that they hunt during the day as well as at night. Not all owl species hunt at night. And so it was a matter. I mean, they're hunting all day long, and if you spend enough time, and you pick the right spots, and typically a great gray will hunt a meadow that might be a couple acres in size, what I would do would plant myself 50 yards from one of the owls that was just hanging out and sitting in the trees hunting, and then eventually you have to sit there long enough because eventually they'll hear something. And if you put yourself in a spot where you've seen where you can see the tracks in the snow where they've come down and jumped on things, and there's different places in the environment that you're working in that you'll see are more suitable, obviously, to the creatures that they're after, which are typically voles during the wintertime, and you just try to pick the right spot. Now, let me tell you, I picked a lot of wrong spots, but I picked a couple of right ones.
Yeah, I'll bet it does happen that way. And one specifically, oh, I guess we're out of time.
Well, okay, we're going to have you back, Daniel. That's all there is to it.
Well, thanks
for
guys.
Being on.
I enjoyed being on. I appreciate your interest. And, anytime you'd like to come see more work at naturalexposures.com, we'd love to see you around.
All right, we'll do. You're listening to the Shutterbug Magazine radio show, syndicated by Brain Food Media, global food for thought.
Are you overwhelmed with all the choices for buying a digital camera? Do your eyes glaze over when reading about resolution and removable media? Well, BetterPhoto.com can help with our unique digital camera calculator. You can find your ideal digital camera in 5 minutes or less. You don't have to know squat about megapixels, histograms, or any other techno-geek features. Just click on a series of pictures so we know the kinds of photos you want to take. And in just a few seconds, you'll get an unbiased list of different digital cameras that'll be perfect for you and your budget. And we'll tell you exactly why we picked those specific cameras from the over 800 cameras in our database. You'll be absolutely sure you're getting exactly the camera you want. And best of all, it's free. Wouldn't you rather be taking pictures instead of researching cameras? Let our digital camera calculator take the frustration out of buying a digital camera. Visit BetterPhoto.com now.
Talk to me.
Information, news, and entertainment on demand.
CameraPrices.com has reviews, ratings, and prices on digital cameras, memory cards, lenses, and other camera gear. It's a popular website among photographers, students, small business owners, and parents. Anyone who wants to save time and money. Don't waste hours browsing dozens of websites to find the best deal. Visit CameraPrices.com and find what you're looking for and where to buy. It's easy. Just search by price, brand, or other common specs and find your gear in minutes. Before you buy, read our store ratings, which are bias-free because they're written by consumers just like you. Now you can compare store ratings, reviews, and prices to get the best deal from a trustworthy store. And here's a popular feature for those on a budget. Use our price drop alert. It's free. Just tell us the lowest price you want to pay. The moment the price drops within your budget, we'll email you the details. This service alone can save shoppers hundreds of dollars daily. Next time you think of buying camera gear, visit CameraPrices.com.
If you want to stop eBay shoppers dead in their tracks with attention-getting photos, check out the Deflector from SharpPix.com. The Deflector is a portable studio for product photography that resembles a large briefcase. It unfolds into a tabletop background stand with an integrated reflective background that gives you web-quality pictures with your own digital camera. You get an even white background without hassle and without hours of editing. Your items will look like they're floating in air, just like the glossy photos you see in Premier mail order catalogs. The Deflector is your own personal photo studio designed to work with a flash as the main light source. Eye-catching pictures can skyrocket your sales on eBay. And now, with the Deflector, your products will stand out from the rest. And at a fraction of the cost and none of the headaches of hiring a professional photographer. Here's your secret weapon to outsell the competition. Finally, web-quality photography for the rest of us. Go to SharpPix.com. That's SharpPix.com.
If you want eBay shoppers to stop clicking and start drooling over your items on your eBay auction or eBay store, take a look at Photo Studio in a Box at WSRadioMall.com. Photo Studio in a Box is a complete solution for people who aren't photographers. You'll shoot breathtaking photos that will give your eBay sales a kick in the pants. Your photos will come to life with vibrant color. They'll be crisp, clear, and without shadows. They'll have the same look and feel as photos you see on websites of major corporations. All you need is a digital camera, because Photo Studio in a Box is a complete solution. It comes in two sizes and includes lights, light tent, camera stand, and a carrying case. It's small, lightweight, and easy to set up anywhere. In just minutes, you can set up and start taking professional quality photos that will grab the eyeballs of eBay shoppers and leave your competitors fighting for the leftovers. Go to WSRadioMall.com and check out Photo Studio in a Box. That's WSRadioMall.com.
If you or someone you know really babies their car, motorcycle, boat, or RV, do we have the product for you. Never wax again. With the very same paint sealant that new car dealers charge hundreds of dollars for at a fraction of the cost, now available direct to consumers. See the amazing results at www.paintprotectionspecialist.com. Whether restoring an older oxidized vehicle or protecting a new one, the PPS paint sealant may be applied with an orbital polisher or by hand. Best of all, we offer this simple but ironclad guarantee. If this is not the best product you or your loved one has ever used, we will refund your money, including shipping, and you do not need to return the product. Why would we offer such a guarantee? Because the product is that good. See for yourself at www.paintprotectionspecialist.com. That's paintprotectionspecialist.com. It makes the perfect gift.
Talk to me.
Welcome back to Shutterbug Magazine Radio with your host, Jack Warren.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jack, the voice of photographers. Now stand by for news.
Welcome to Shutterbug Magazine's Radio Photo News, brought to you by PR Newswire. Photographs from local high school students working with Critical Exposure, a local nonprofit organization, were featured on The Oprah Winfrey Show and CNN's Anderson Cooper 360 for their successful efforts to document and change the conditions of their schools through photography. The students featured were just two of the nearly 100 students who have worked with Critical Exposure to photograph their schools and advocate for change. Critical Exposure is a nonprofit organization teaching students basic photography and giving them opportunities to document conditions, positive and negative, which exist in Baltimore and D.C. public schools. For more information about Critical Exposure, to learn more about recent projects, and to see student photographs, contact Adam Levner, co-director, at 202-258-6626 or adam@criticalexposure.org. Red Bull Illum ImageQuest 2006 is the first ever international photography competition that celebrates the world of action and adventure sports, inviting both professional and emerging photographers to participate. The quest will honor the unique expression and skill of the photographer, as well as the spirit of the action sports community. The top 50 finalists will have their work exhibited in larger-than-life outdoor venues across the globe, providing the most dramatic compilation of action and adventure sports imagery ever assembled. The Image of the Year winner will be commissioned for the photo shoot of a lifetime with a Red Bull athlete of the winner's choice. This has been a Shutterbug Magazine Radio's Photo News, brought to you by PR Newswire.
Welcome back. And our first guest today, Barbara Weltman, is a popular guest speaker on small business issues. She has lectured at national and regional conferences sponsored by prestigious forums such as SCORE, Barnes & Noble, the Learning Annex, and the U.S. Small Business Administration. She's appeared in many prestigious national media outlets, including CNBC, CNN, WNBC, Bloomberg TV, The Wall Street Journal, and the list goes on. She's a writer for Inc.com. She serves as a small business expert for the Online Tax Center at Staples.com, and she's the author of many books, including Bottom Line's Shrewd Money Book, The Small Business Survival Book, The Idiot's Guide to Starting an eBay Business. I'm going to have to ask her about that one. And Small Business Taxes 2006. She's a graduate of the Brooklyn Law School and a member of the New York Bar. Welcome to the show, Barbara, and we're so happy to have you.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're photographers struggling to start small businesses. In fact, I've invited to help me today give you a few questions, Mr. Michael Moore, who is the co-founder of morephotos.com, representing thousands of small business photographers. Welcome, Michael.
Hey, guys.
I just wanted to ask you first, Barbara, what do you think are some of the mistakes that people who start small businesses like photography businesses might make?
Well, they may be very informal about how they run the business and commingle their personal things with their business things. So the first thing, the most important thing is start out, set up a business bank account, get a separate business credit card, and start keeping good books and records for your business.
Yeah, I think one of the things I remember when I started years ago was it was difficult to determine what was business and what wasn't. One of the things I did was I got a separate credit card. Is that a good idea?
Excellent. That's what I just said, that it's really good. It's good for two reasons. First of all, you just charge everything on your credit card so that it keeps things separate. And there's a bonus to it because the credit card companies will provide you with a statement at the end of the year. And, for example, if you use American Express or a MasterCard business card or something like that, you'll get an annual statement, and the statement will group all your expenses. So you'll have all your business meals under one category, and it'll just simplify your life for tax purposes.
What are some of the deductions that, if I start looking at my tax statement, I know we just completed taxes here recently, and if I start looking through, can I deduct things like a camera or tripod, that type of thing?
Well, there's a break in the tax law for small businesses only, and it's called expensing, and this allows you to write off the cost of equipment and instead of having to depreciate it over a number of years. So, for example, in 2006, you can expense up to $108,000 of equipment costs. And equipment doesn't only mean your cameras and your tripods. It includes your computer, your office furniture, or any other equipment. As long as you're profitable, you'll be able to benefit from this kind of write-off.
And that's kind of always been a question in my mind, too. What determines profitability? Is a dollar profitable? Where do they draw a line at what's profitable and what isn't in a dollar amount?
Well, in terms of having to report income, you have to report every penny that you make. So there's no threshold or minimum amount that you have to earn before you start reporting it. You have to report everything. Profit for tax purposes means any income in excess of any expenses that you deduct. So, for example, if you make $10,000 from your photography and you have $11,000 of expenses, you're not profitable, you have a loss. But if you have $999,000, you're profitable.
Yes, that's what I want this year. Right, Michael?
Absolutely. I had a couple of basic questions for you, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Like, what would be the first things I need to do? I mean, like, I need to get a tax ID number, correct?
Well, it depends. If you're a sole proprietor, meaning that you have not set up a corporation or a limited liability company and you're just operating on your own, no partners, You're not necessarily required to get a tax ID number, but it's a very good idea to do so. First of all, you should set up your business bank account under the separate ID number. You need the separate ID number if you're going to set up a retirement plan for your business. And if you're profitable, you certainly should start socking money away because Uncle Sam is in effect, is making part of the contributions for your retirement savings. And also, if you're doing work for other people and you have to give out numbers for purposes of 1099s, if you're an independent contractor for somebody else, it's better to give out your tax ID number than your personal Social Security number. So that would be one thing. But if any other kind of business, if you're a limited liability company, a corporation, you definitely need a tax ID number. You can get one instantly through the IRS website.
And then about... how about the state taxes? So I'm collecting state taxes for my work, and how do I find out all the rules and regulations? Like some states, I do believe, make you tax the shipping. Some don't. Some states make you tax different counties. There's a couple of states that do that. Who do you go through that?
For sales tax information, contact your state. You'll get a resale number, a sales tax you can use to report your collections under, and the rules, as you say, are very different from state to state. They'll send you a package, a booklet that will explain everything.
One of the things that I think people make the mistake of thinking that they can do things on their own, what do you think about when you're setting up a business, seeing a tax advisor?
Well, I think it's a highly advisable thing to do. You know, it's basically a one-time expense that will be well worth it because it can help you avoid mistakes. So certainly talk to somebody who's knowledgeable, who can help guide you on how to set up your business, how to get your books started correctly, and maybe give you some pointers of some specific things to do for your specific situation.
Right. Photography has a lot of unique situations, and one of the things I was going to ask you about was travel expenses. As a photographer, you go out on a photo shoot. When can I deduct mileage when I go out on a photo shoot?
That's a great question. It depends. The answer to that depends on whether you run your business from home or you have a studio. If you run your business from home and claim a home office deduction, that's your business location, then any travel from home to any business location, whether it's to the store to pick up supplies for your business or to go to a photo shoot and back again, that mileage will be deductible. If you operate from a studio or other location away from home, then it's travel between that location and other business sites.
I see. So if I had a studio outside my home, it would be from the studio to the shoot.
Right. The travel from home to your studio is just personal, non-deductible commuting.
Michael?
Yeah, and a couple other things. Like how about, and a lot of people forget this, and I get hit really hard with this one, so I want to bring it up to people, is the property tax.
And property tax on
the local property tax in your county or whatever.
You mean for a studio?
Yeah, for a studio. So if you have $10,000 worth of equipment there, the county charges you property tax for that.
That's right. But that is a deductible business expense.
Ah, so you can deduct it. All right.
But I just want to make sure people know that there is one.
It's not all over.
It
varies from location to location. So some localities do not have such a tax.
So you check with your local state.
Exactly.
Got it. Michael, what was your other one?
And I think you asked a couple more of those that I would, but...
Okay, well, I got another one. I just wanted to know what if I'm? I mean, you can probably go all day with the what ifs, but if I buy new equipment versus used equipment, am I still entitled to a deduction if I'm buying used equipment to start a new studio?
That's a good question. Yes, you can write off the used equipment exactly the same way as you would write off the new. And in fact, you can take your tax deductions whether you pay cash for this or you finance your purchase.
Wow. And somebody told me there's such a thing called a loss carryback. That's a little technical for meaning I started a business and I spent a whole bunch of money, but in the previous year I was doing something else where I paid a whole bunch of taxes. Is there a possibility that I could go back to my previous job and say, well, you know, I started this new business now and I have all these expenses?
Well, again, this sort of depends on how the business is set up and who gets to use this loss. The loss that you're talking about is called a net operating loss, and it grows out of the expenses from running a business. And there is a carryback that can be claimed, but again, it depends on whether you have a corporation and who gets to use the loss.
I see.
And then when you decide if how you want to do it at LLC, and I know LLC is really a popular way to go versus
right.
Incorporation or if you just sold proprietorship, what would be your...
Well, the point to remember about a limited liability company and a corporation is that it gives you personal liability protection. So if for example, somebody is injured because of your activities, they can't get your personal assets, your house, if they're successful against you. So it gives you personal liability protection. Tax rules, again, vary because a limited liability company, if you're the sole owner, then you're taxed practically the same as if you're a sole proprietor.
And Barbara, do you have any new books coming out? You have a whole variety of them on Amazon.com, Barbara Weltman, and your website is BarbaraWeltman.com. Any new
sure.
books coming out?
Well, every year my J.K. Lass's Small Business Taxes gets updated, so I'm working on the 2007 edition right now. And I have out as a co-author of the Small Business Survival Book.
Ooh.
Which can help you now. That just came out recently, and Steve Forbes endorsed it, and
wow.
it's gonna help you stay and avoid problems and stay
in business. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming on today and helping us photographers. We need all the help we can get.
Oh, a pleasure. Good luck.
Thanks. See you, Mike. You've been listening to the Shutterbug Magazine Radio Show, syndicated by Brain Food Media, global food for thought.
Are you still flipping between applications to touch up, categorize, organize, share, and back up your digital images? If so, then it's time to get serious. Created by professionals for professionals, StudioLine Photo does it all, and it's easy enough that you won't need a degree to use it. Simply load your images, add captions, descriptions, and keywords. Correct exposure, color tones, and other imperfections. Then print your albums, burn DVDs, publish to the internet, or send photos as email. With StudioLine's batch functions, it doesn't matter if you're working on one photo or hundreds. You'll work faster and better with StudioLine. Don't spend hundreds of dollars to end up with less. If you have a digital camera and a Windows computer, get StudioLine Photo at electronics, office, and photo stores for only $49. Or download a free trial at www.studioline.us.
If you're a professional photographer looking for a complete solution for selling your photos on the internet, you need to check out morephotos.com. With morephotos.com, you have a complete arsenal of tools to add your own photos to the front page, create a huge portfolio or gallery section to show what you can do, and even advertise your products, services, and prices. From viewing to sales, you will increase your productivity and your customer satisfaction. You'll be able to protect your photos from theft with watermarks, create different price lists for different events, build a database of your customers for mass mailings, Christmas card lists, or satisfaction follow-up. Do you want to personalize your products for your customers and skyrocket your sales? No problem. Morephotos.com can do it. You'll have everything you need to create a professional-looking website and collect the money without having to become a web designer or a programmer. Find out more by logging on to morephotos.com.
If you struggle with quality when it comes to your product shots or would like to bring them in-house to save money, consider Photosimile. This PC-controlled photography studio is like having a professional photographer on staff. In fact, in seconds, anyone can use Photosimile to obtain professional photography results. The controlled lighting environment inside of the light box yields shadow-free images that are perfect for websites, online auctions, product catalogs, and more. Simply place items in the light box, preview them on your monitor, and click Snap in the PhotoSimile software to take a picture. Images are automatically sent from camera to PC via USB for immediate viewing, editing, and saving. PhotoSimile also features watermarking, annotation, and batch saving capabilities. To learn more about PhotoSimile and how you can take product pictures like a pro, go to PhotoSimile.com. That's Photo, S-I-M-I-L-E.com.
Your photos should be on a postcard. Go to GetCashForPhotos.com and get a free 7-part course on how to select photos that sell. You can make money from photos you've already taken if you know how to select them. And that's exactly what you'll learn in How to Select Photos That Sell. You'll get surefire tips that have kept professional photographers in business year after year. Tips like what to look for in photos that double their selling price, how to beat the competition, and when you should take multiple shots of your subject. Not only will you be able to select profitable photos, you'll automatically start taking photos that sell, no matter where you are, even if you're on vacation. Imagine how you'll feel and how impressed your friends will be when they see your photo on the cover of a national magazine or on a postcard. To get your free 7-part course, go to GetCashForPhotos.com. That's GetCashForPhotos.com.
Are you overwhelmed with all the choices for buying a digital camera? Do your eyes glaze over when reading about resolution and removable media? Well, BetterPhoto.com can help with our unique digital camera calculator. You can find your ideal digital camera in 5 minutes or less. You don't have to know squat about megapixels, histograms, or any other techno-geek features. Just click on a series of pictures so we know the kinds of photos you want to take. And in just a few seconds, you'll get an unbiased list of different digital cameras that'll be perfect for you and your budget. And we'll tell you exactly why we picked those specific cameras from the over 800 cameras in our database. You'll be absolutely sure you're getting exactly the camera you want. And best of all, it's free. Wouldn't you rather be taking pictures instead of researching cameras? Let our digital camera calculator take the frustration out of buying a digital camera. Visit BetterPhoto.com now.
Talk to me.
Information, news, and entertainment on demand.
WSRadio.com.
Talk to me.
Welcome back to Shutterbug Magazine Radio with your host, Jack Warren.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm Jack. That's kind of clever how that rhymes. Welcome back. I'm Jack. And I have with me Mr. Jim Mottke. Do you like the way that rhymes, Jim?
I do, Jack. That sounds great.
It's catchy, isn't it?
Yes.
Jim, this is a great show today, and I know you like to comment on some of the guests, so you can go for it. But before you leave, make sure you give us 3 spring cleaning tips for our equipment.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, it was a great show, wasn't it?
You bet.
I just find it so fascinating the way a successful photographer, especially a successful digital photographer, needs to be such a composite of different characters. Isn't that so neat?
Yeah.
You know, we started off with Daniel talking about, you know, you need to be a naturalist if you're interested in wildlife and nature photography. And then on top of that, of course, you have to be a technically proficient photographer.
Right.
And then on top of that, you have to be a business person.
Isn't that something?
You know, handing out business cards and sending out letters. And then I would contend that on top of that, you need to be a good Photoshopper. You need to really know how to work your images so that you can create, you know, the image.
You bet.
The way you would interpret. So, you know, going along those lines of being a sort of a business person slash technician, we do have to clean every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. And that even includes our computers, by the way, because every once in a while I have to defrag my computer.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, don't even go there.
Right?
But I think the biggest bugaboo with digital photographers is the sensor, the little CCD element. That's the new big problem that a lot of photographers face. They get a digital camera, especially if they have a digital SLR camera and they're removing their lenses and putting on different lenses. That little sensor in your camera picks up dust. It like attracts it like a magnet.
No kidding.
Charged element, yeah. And so periodically, we have to clean it. And there are three steps that I'll talk about, three different kind of lines of defense that you can take when trying to combat this problem. The first one is you can do what your manual probably tells you to do. If you look in your computer, in your camera manual, it'll probably tell you how to clean your sensor. And then what it says is you turn your camera off into a certain mode, and then you use an air blower. Mm. And this is your good first, you know, line of attack.
Now, this isn't a hairdryer.
Right, exactly. Not a hairdryer. And I've learned not canned air as well. In the beginning, I used to use canned air, but it spits out little bits of stuff that you don't want on your sensor. So I use a super powerful hand blower, and I use one by a company named Giotto. It's called a Rocket. And another company called Visible Dust produces one called a Hurricane Blower. And these are just really powerful little ways to try to dislodge the dust. However, it doesn't work often. Because of that magnetic charge, the dust just hangs onto that sensor. So you got to go to phase two. Now, phase two is you can use a very fine brush. Again, this isn't like a hairbrush or an air dryer. But you buy a very fine brush specifically designed to swipe your camera sensor. And I do recommend going to that one I just mentioned called Visible Dust. Mm-hmm. And people can go to visibledust.com and buy these little things. And you can get a little brush that's called the SD brush. And what it has is a little spinning mechanism, so it actually charges the brush. Mm. And that helps dislodge the dust as you swipe it across. Now, the third phase, if that doesn't really get it, you have to go with a cleaning solution. Mm. And people can use this, what I recommend is one by a company called Eclipse. And you get this little methanol solution. And last I checked, you couldn't really buy it mail order or online. So you'd have to go into your local camera store, local pro camera store, and buy this stuff with cotton sensor swabs. And they make these special swabs designed specifically for the width of your little CCD sensor. And they cost a lot of money, or, you know, fair amount of money for what they are. But you have to bite the bullet and do it.
Yep. Well, thank you very much for those tips, Jim. We're going to talk to you again next week when Jim Motke, founder of BetterPhoto.com, will have more tips for us.
Absolutely. And if this is all too much for people, they can go into a camera store and have them do it for them.
There we go. Okay. Jim, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, Jack.
You bet. The team here at WS Radio Network is very excited because we're now able to provide you special offers and discounts and prizes. We have something for everyone. All you need to do is go to clubwsradio.com. You've been listening to the Shutterbug Magazine Radio Show. We are syndicated by a terrific company called Brain Food Media, global food for thought. See you next week.
CameraPrices.com has reviews, ratings, and prices on digital cameras, memory cards, lenses, and other camera gear. It's a popular website among photographers, students, small business owners, and parents. Anyone who wants to save time and money. Don't waste hours browsing dozens of websites to find the best deal. Visit CameraPrices.com and find what you're looking for and where to buy. It's easy. Just search by price, brand, or other common specs and find your gear in minutes. Before you buy, read our store ratings, which are bias-free because they're written by consumers just like you. Now you can compare store ratings, reviews, and prices to get the best deal from a trustworthy store. And here's a popular feature for those on a budget. Use our price drop alert. It's free. Just tell us the lowest price you want to pay. The moment the price drops within your budget, we'll email you the details. This service alone can save shoppers hundreds of dollars daily. Next time you think of buying camera gear, visit CameraPrices.com.